Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene, Tuesday, November 23rd, 2010.
His chief investment officer, Pacific Investment Management Company, Mohammed Elarian. Dr. Elarian, good morning.
Good morning.
I've been talking up here. I don't know if you heard it there as we went to you. Your simple management framework on page 290 of When Markets Collide. Let's rip that page out of When Markets Collide, fold it into a paper airplane, and send it over to Europe. What do you need Europe to do right now?
Tom, in terms of what's urgent and important, Europe needs to quickly calm things down in Ireland. Ireland is getting very close to a major bank run. And if that occurs, it will seriously undermine the prosperity of this country for a generation. So the first thing that they must do is execute on what they announced this weekend, which is a big external aid package and steps by the Irish government. Now, that is not easy. There's massive execution risk. That is what's urgent and important. What's also important is to deal with the underlying issue, which is solvency and not liquidity. And unless Ireland does this, then we will simply kick the can down the road, as happened with Greece, and within a few months we'll have another crisis, and this time it will involve more than just Ireland and Greece.
Well, you know, we've talked to a lot of people about this Irish situation, and you're the first one who's raised the possibility of a bank run. What do you see that maybe other people don't?
The numbers so far, Ken, have shown that the Irish banking system has been bleeding deposits. They have issued numbers up to September where it ranges from 5 to 14% in terms of the deposits that have exited the system. The risk, as you know, is that it's a non-linear process. So you could start losing deposits much more quickly. So it is critical to stabilize the banking situation. Otherwise, the officials will lose control of the solution.
I thank you for bringing this up because I think that was an untold story of the Greek crisis, this idea of at some point people and corporations use their feet and they walk out the door. Ken, I don't think this is a small idea he speaks of.
We did have reports of that in Greece, especially wealthy people taking their money out of the bank, but it didn't really amount to that much.
Yeah, I mean, ask yourself, what would you advise your sister in Ireland right now? You would say, go take the money out of an Irish bank and put it in another bank, headquarters elsewhere. That is what you would do. That's what happened in Argentina. That's what happened in various emerging economies where people worry about their savings. That's why it is critical to stabilize the situation. Advanced economies, Tom and Ken, are not wired to run at such elevated levels of risk spreads. So Tom was talking about a risk spread of 578 for Ireland. Advanced economies simply are not wired to operate at such high level of risk spreads.
Within the works here, we've seen Chancellor Merkel, Marco Brennan just mentioning the Chancellor speaking. What have you gleaned out of Germany in the last 48 hours? Is it a reaffirmation of Axel Weber's austerity, or is there any kind of tilt by the Germans to a new calculus?
You know, Germany is in a very tough position. They're trying to strike this delicate balance between, on the one hand, providing a ton of support to countries that have not behaved fiscally and that have not controlled their banking systems. On the other hand, they want to see adjustments in those countries. So they don't want to just see financing, they want to see adjustment. And they're trying to strike the balance. And it's very important because the worst thing that can happen for Europe is that Germany gets contaminated by the weak peripherals. Germany right now is fiscally sound, is strengthening economically, and the last thing that Europe and Germany can afford is for that country, which is at the core of the EU, to be contaminated by the disruptions in the periphery.
Would you like to see a new dialogue or a new rhetoric from the big banks represented by the IIF? They've been silent here, haven't they? Do they need to come out and literally offer a haircut to get the dialogue started?
I think you need to talk about a preemptive, orderly restructuring of debt that can address the solvency issue. We know that you don't solve a debt problem by adding new debt on top of old debt. At some point, the whole thing collapses. So what you need is first to calm the situation, and then secondly, to find an orderly, and I stress orderly, solution to deal with the debt overhang. And that requires a cooperative approach.
Within the cooperative approach, an institution has to jumpstart that. Is it someone outside, say President Obama? Is it not the United Nations? I mean, is the IMF the top dog here? Are they the ones that come in?
Yeah, you need a conductor, right? So you have different parts of the orchestra, and you need them all to be coordinated, and you definitely need a conductor. You would hope that that conductor could be the IMF. It certainly is the IMF in emerging economies, but the IMF doesn't have that much experience in advanced economies. So it should be the IMF, and we absolutely need a conductor, yes.
Is Portugal next?
If the situation in Ireland isn't calmed quickly, you will find pressure mounting on Portugal. And we're already seeing it. We already saw today, you know, risk spreads there. Tom mentioned before the break we're at 430 over. So you're starting to see it evolve there.
Can that be a self-fulfilling prophecy?
That's what happens in crisis, right? That people, there's so much uncertainty that the right thing to do when you don't know what's going on is to step to the sideline, and then you get the fallacy of composition. What makes sense for every person does not make sense for the collective. And that's how a crisis erupts.
Within that was beautifully explained. Within the reality of a crisis, and you look at Portugal as a smaller nation, I would suggest respectively poorer in many ways, they're looking at real rates that are simply impossible. Even to the end of the year, their business comes to a complete halt, doesn't it?
It does. And that's what people have been missing. They've been saying, there's nothing to worry about. These countries don't need to refinance themselves in terms of government debt. But the private sector cannot operate at such elevated levels of risk spreads, at such high real interest rate. The debt burden of the private sector becomes unsustainable pretty quickly. That's why you've got to address it. It's not a funding issue as much as it is that the private sector cannot operate at such high levels of real interest rate.
Mohammed, there's a thing that gets in the way of elites, and that would be people at the voting booth. That will happen in Ireland sooner or later. At some point here, the people of Europe are going to weigh in. Are they more homogenous or less homogenous than we think?
What a great question, Tom. You clearly see in Ireland political risk going up in the sense that it didn't take long for the government's majority in parliament to be reduced just after they announced that they would be seeking IMF and EU help. So there is a question mark in terms of the government's ability to deliver on what it promises its creditors. More generally, I think there's anger among the Irish citizens that their banking system has contaminated jobs, growth, and prosperity. So this is a very delicate political issue. Once you go beyond Ireland, you know, the basic issue that every citizen faces, which is, should I pursue a national interest or should I pursue a regional interest?
Is the ultimate national interest to default? Matthew Lynn on Bloomberg suggesting today, just get it over with, say no, just say no. You'll clear the markets in a matter of weeks. Or does that provide such a shock and instability it shouldn't be considered?
And that's where what's desirable may not be feasible and what's feasible may not be desirable. You definitely need to deal with the solvency issue. You want to do it from a position of strength. So you want to calm things down first and then look for a voluntary way to do it through voluntary exchanges. That's what's desirable. The question is it feasible? And that's what the Irish politicians, that's what the EU and the IMF are trying to figure out.
Just in the final minute that we've got left with you, Korea, we see some instability over there, to be kind, this morning. Frame this within Northern Asia. Is this something that Japan and China should be fully engaged with, or do you let the process just work itself out within Korea?
Now, I think the whole system, the whole globe has to be engaged with it, and for a very simple reason. We are in the aftermath of a major financial crisis. We have already used the spare tires on the vehicle, if you like, which is a global economy. There isn't much that can be done in terms of fiscal or monetary policy. So the last thing you want is a geopolitical shock to act as a headwind to the recovery from the global financial crisis. So it is in the interest of everybody, not just China and Japan, but the interest of everybody to calm the situation down, because we do not have spare tires left on the vehicle of the global economy.
Thank you so much, Mohammed El-Erian of PIMCO.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, or on satellite radio, Sirius Channel 130 and XM Channel 129. Copyright 2010.